Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Simpuga, and this evening we'll talk about the fourth European Union African Union Summit. And tonight I won't start with my colleague Henok Fente of VOA's Horn Service. Henok, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And later on we'll be joined by my other panelist, Suleiman Mugula, who will be joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. But let's begin with Henok here in studio. Henok, this is the fourth EU-AU summit in Brussels, and there's been a number of African heads of state who are attending. Briefly, you've been following this summit closely. Briefly, what are the major issues that are on the agenda?
Well, Douglas, as the EU-Africa summit concludes today, leaders of both continents dealt with a number of issues. The priority for them was peace and security, especially the situation in the Central African Republic. As you know, there is European intervention with French forces on the ground trying to create a buffer zone, and there's also a UN resolution in place to help the country better secure its citizens. And these were some of the issues. Of course, Africa this past year has seen a rise in the number of riots in the streets, governments being toppled, and just violence throughout the continent. So peace and security is very important in EU-Africa partnership. The other issues are, of course, economy. Africa has six, if not seven, of the fastest growing economies, and the continent's economy has been growing steadily at 5% over the past decade. And European businesses and governments are interested to do business in Africa. So that creates a forum for investors, that creates a forum for intra-government deals to be made. And of course, there's good governance issues, fighting corruption, youth unemployment, and which is pegged to a priority in European policy, which is migration, because you have young Africans who are unemployed, who are, you know, trekking across deserts and then crossing into Europe by boat. So migration is also a big issue for most of Europe. So these are, you know, the general rubrics of the discussion that took place in Brussels over the past couple of days.
Yes, and I think most African heads of state take this summit very seriously, because out of the 54 countries, at least heads of state from 34 are attending this summit. So now, talking about these issues, are these continental bodies discussing as equals, or is there this, because some people have argued that the European Union looks at the African Union as a sort of a young brother, sort of?
Now, let me talk about a point you raised earlier, and I'll just get back to that. The partnership, strategic importance of Africa to Europe and Europe to Africa. These are continents that are very close to one another, which makes it very convenient for any type of security partnerships, political partnerships, any kind of trade partnerships, because Africa has a huge agrarian-based economy. As Africa's economy develops, European import and export, Africa's import and export becomes a priority, because it's cheaper, it's closer, and the two continents historically have had relations due to the closeness. So strategically, these two continents need to work together. Now, the question that you raised, is it master and a servant type of relationship, or is it a relationship where countries and the two continents are actually discussing issues of equal importance to their own interests and the interest of the other on equal terms? I think Africa has come a long way as far as being respected. Africa's economy has been growing. Africa has a huge potential of growth. And this is a market that used to be dubbed as the untouchable market. Now they call it the frontier market. I think it's an emerging market. And the fact that, you know, Africa has a lot to contribute, not only to take foreign aid or any type of aid from Europe, really is, I wouldn't say it's on level terms, but Africa has a respectable place in the global international community and in continental discussions and bilateral relations as well.
Let's talk further about the economic aspect and the economic cooperation between the two continental bodies or the two the countries in the two continents. There are those who argue that despite all what you've just enumerated, how Africa's economies are growing, many of them are, they have GDP that's growing very fast, there's still this mentality where most Africans expect foreign aid, aid from Europe and the rest of the West. With that kind of mentality, then is it possible that the two parties can sit on the table and talk as equals?
I don't agree with that analysis. Some people talk about that, yes, but the relationship has changed. And if you take a look at, you wanted me to talk about the economy because I was actually focused in my reporting on the economy side. Previously, if you take a look at the kind of free trade agreement, FTAs, that Europe had, it was mainly with North Africa and then South Africa. And the rest of sub-Saharan Africa is in the dark. And Europe has trade agreements with a number of Asian countries. Europe has trade agreements with Latin American countries, even though they're far. But you don't see that happening in sub-Saharan Africa. That is changing. This past year, the European Union introduced a legislation that would allow tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade to allow African businesses to export, to have access to the European market. And this is significant. And of course, this brings the next question. Have African countries really built a capacity, A, and also the competitiveness to be able to export to European markets? So that's another question. The European Union also last year announced an 85 million euro power deal that would provide rural electrification in Africa. Of course, Africa needs electricity. Africa needs power to grow. And this kind of partnerships are very important. The Obama administration has Power Africa, the Power Africa Initiative, which provides about $7 billion for the next 5 years. So there is a great deal of interest. And with these kind of relationships, European companies are interested to do business in Africa.
Okay, now related to the economic aspect and the economic cooperation between the two countries in the two continents is the issue of immigration, which ought to come up or which was supposed to come up, where we've seen migrants from Africa dying on the over in the seas, strict immigration laws and regulations in Europe. How does this one factor in the whole equation? And how do you think the two parties can figure out a way of having humane immigration policies?
Well, as far as migration goes, and Europe doesn't have a problem with legal migration,
which is difficult to get.
Which is difficult to get, and it's controlled. Europe is worried about this uncontrolled illegal immigration, which puts burden on their economy. And as you know, most of the countries that are close to Africa are going through an economic austerity, and most of their young population is jobless. So they worry about, you know, African migrants coming. On the other side also, on the side of the continent needs to retain its young population and create jobs for them. And it's in the interest of Europe, as far as their migration policy goes, to be able to create jobs. It's a case of security for them. It's a case of economic issues and joblessness in Europe and in Africa. So the two continents really need to work together in partnership to create more jobs. And for that, the economy needs to grow. And they are discussing and they have initiatives in place that would help Africa create jobs for its youth and have its economy grow. And for these very important factors, power is critical. Trade is critical. And trade agreements are very important. On top of that, security sector reforms and improvements in governance are very critical, because everything is linked up to being able to have a relationship, building a relationship of trust, building a relationship where European investors feel comfortable to come to the continent. African exporters have access to European markets. They're not limited, as it was in the past, through tariff and non-tariff barriers. So this partnership, especially based on mutually beneficial public policy that's debated and that's transparent between these two continents, is key to the success of both.
And another issue many analysts have raised is the for lack of a better word, incompatibility into these two unions. The European Union membership has certain standards to be member. African Union standards are more lax. Okay, that's so low, some people say that it's composed of some leaders who are dictatorial, some leaders who are not even elected, some leaders that have been in power for 20, 30, 40 years. Now, do the meeting along of these groups, can they strike a balance as far as, say, good governance is concerned, or in issues of security and peace, when there's imbalance in their membership?
I think the creation of the EU had its own evolution. It started a long time ago, and it's gotten where it is right now through a process. As a component of the EU-Africa Summit, there was a youth leadership forum. Mm-hmm. So that's a mechanism where, you know, Europe is trying to show how it was able to pull a very strong and vibrant continental body together. Like you say, the African Union, you showed a little bit of mercy. I call the African Union a fraternity, yes. You know, of powerful boys. Yeah. For the most part, there's right. A couple of ladies now, which is good news.
Yes.
We'd like to see more ladies in the African Union, and would like to see more transparency and more accountability and better governance within the African Union. So a significant component of this transfer of experience, if you call it, or knowledge between Europe and Africa is taking place through this youth dialogues discussions.
I see. And finally, let's talk about there used to be an issue of African solutions to African problems, but lately we've seen where there's been turmoil and conflict. Africa has not been able to solve their own problems in Mali, in Central African Republic. They have had to rely on help and aid, military aid from Europe, like France, countries like France. Where does that leave the issue of African solutions to African problems?
I think there's African solutions to African problems every day in everyday life. You know, a mother walking for 2 hours and bringing, fetching water and fuel from, you know, far away places, trying to feed her family, trying to send her kids to school, and making sure that her kids stay healthy, that they take vaccinations and all of that. But in order to be able to do this, African-grown solutions, we need partnerships. Partnerships are critical. Nobody can grow. We cannot do better without partnerships within Africans, even governments, and outside forces, the international community. Take the example of the mother who fetches water from a river far away. Unless she has this tablet that she puts in a bucket that kills all the bacteria, and African technology hasn't gotten there, so there would have to be some kind of European knowledge or European companies working in partnerships with Africa to allow this mother to be able to provide clean water for her children. So this kind of partnerships are very critical. Civil society plays a critical role here. Governments are essential. And of course, we Africans as taking our role seriously and improving our good our governance, holding our leaders accountable, and having a system and a mechanism to do that. And Europe has a lot to help, to partner, and to benefit from this kind of relationships, these strategic partnerships.
Thank you, Henok Fente of VOA's Horn Service. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll now take a short break, and when we come back to continue our discussion of the EU-African Union Summit in Brussels, we'll be joined by our other guest, Suleiman Mgula, joining us from Durban, South Africa. Let's go for this short break. Don't go away.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. North to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on The Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the fourth EU-AU summit in Brussels. I'm now joined by our regular panelist and friend of the show, Suleiman Mgula. He's joining us from South Africa in Durban. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and your listeners.
And welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much. Pleasure is mine.
Yeah, you just had Henok Fente go through what he thought were the issues being discussed there, and he concentrated mostly on the economic aspects of the summit. But let's go political. Let's look at the some leaders who boycotted or who couldn't go. Most notably, Robert Mugabe, who boycotted the summit for his because his wife couldn't get a visa. Bashir was disinvited or not invited. Joyce Banda, of course, didn't go because Malawi didn't go because she had her own political issues at home. But most notable is the your president, Jacob Zuma, who didn't go and had very strong words and criticized the EU for selecting who to attend the summit and who to attend. Generally, we've been talking about the eco partnership, being continental bodies, being on equal footing. What's the general take on the on these observations?
I think you are right, the way my colleague there had tackled it and the way you are putting it, that we are meeting as continents, but not very much as equal partners. I think if you look at the words of our president and the way also President Mugabe has shunned the conference, it gives you an insight of how people have come to feel or how countries, some leaders, have come to feel about these conferences. Maybe to put it the other way, one can say a conference like this one, the agenda is more about Europe than Africa. As far as when you look at the would-be outcomes, the importance of the conference, should we really say the agenda is Africa or the agenda is Europe? The answer is the agenda is Europe. That is why you find that some leaders like President Zuma, President Mugabe, don't see very much the need to go to attend such a conference because the agenda is dictated by the European continent. They are the ones who determine what has to be discussed. They are the ones who determine what the outcome of the meeting should be. In short, it is more of a working holiday for some of the leaders who are going there because there is no specific agenda which is determined by Africa. The Africans have not provided an agenda as a continent, as regions, not even as individual states. So they are only going there to listen, to be given the agenda, and then they discuss the agenda. So it's not an equal relationship as such. It's only that African countries are only going to reiterate their continued relation, good relations with these European countries.
Yeah, we talked about aid with Henoch, about the aid donor recipient relationship, and I raised it with Henoch, and some analysts have said, if you go there and you can't have economic partnership when one party is an aid recipient, one is a donor. What's your take on that?
There is no doubt about it. We cannot. It is a fact that Europe is the biggest donor to the African continent. By 2013, they had contributed close to 140 billion euros, or more than half of what the rest of the world gives to Africa. They have got roots in many African countries. They give aid to many African countries. Definitely that one makes the African continent subservient to them. I believe the cause of what is happening as far as this meeting is concerned, like any other conferences, this is a continuation of the scramble for Africa. As they give us aid, they want to continue benefiting from what they are benefiting. Of course, as my colleague has said, Africa is a destination for everybody. They are being threatened by the increasing influence of China, the increasing influence of India, Brazil, Turkey, and South Korea. So they want to get a foot, they want to reaffirm their foothold on the continent. It is more of a reaffirmation of their foothold on the continent than caring about Africans. That's why I'm saying it is more of the continuation of this new scramble for Africa more than anything.
Talking of scramble for Africa, other analysts and writers have pointed out the lack of uniformity and good governance on the continent, the African continent, where you find leaders now. There are 34 who are attending the summit in Brussels. Some of them lack democratic credentials. In a continent where membership is not uniform, where a military dictator or a guy who has refused to relinquish power for decades, in that kind of club, how can those leaders agitate or advocate in Africans' interest?
That is the dilemma we are in the continent. Europe is not there to help Africa to govern itself well for the sake of the African people. Europe is there, and any other external countries, they only want good governance so long as it can avail some stability to enable them to get their interests correct. Not good governance which can help the African people progress. Because when you look at the way you have put, when you look at the leadership which is there, the countries like Cameroon, countries like Uganda, countries like Swaziland, they are on the forefront there. Yet they have refused Eritrea because it has got a bad political record. It mistreats opposition leaders. Yet it has been having sanctions on Mugabe because of bad leadership. It is not allowing Bashir because he has got political problems. But the very other countries which are there, many of them are poorly led. They contribute money to these particular countries to promote democracy, but there is no democracy in Uganda, there is no democracy in Cameroon, there is no democracy in Swaziland, and so many other countries. So it is double standards as far as good leadership or good governance is concerned. They are not there for good governance as they claim, because it's one of the agendas. They want to see peace and security, good governance on the continent. It is only rhetoric. In essence, they are not bothered. They only want good governance so long as it can deliver goods to them.
I see. And talking generally, what are expectations from this summit?
As we have already pointed out, the major issues of discussion, security. Yes, there was a strong discussion on Central African Republic, and they are committing soldiers to go and help in Central African Republic. As you are well aware, the Maghreb is restless. Mali, Niger, and these are their areas of influence, not only Mali, but even in West Africa, Nigeria. So how does insecurity affect them? Insecurity affects their trade interests. Insecurity also, as we have already pointed out, the more insecurity there is, the more there is spillovers in terms of immigration. Their economies have had turbulent times. Now they are having pressure from immigration from Africa. They're having problem with insecurity from Africa. Some of these people who are migrating, they don't trust them. Some happen to be terrorists. So there is almost a triple threat to them. So as far as they are concerned, they have serious problems affecting them as far as the continent is concerned. They need it stable so that they can be able to continue with their trade interest. They need it stable so that people do not migrate at the numbers which they are migrating. That is why they are talking of development aid, consolidating trade, so as to allow people to be able to create jobs within the countries. They are looking at now the immigration is becoming a threat to them. So that is why they are in a hurry to discuss with the African country to see whether they can be able to rectify the situation and create some stability within the continent so that they can have some peace as far as Europe is concerned. As far as the outcomes are as concerned, as of now, it is still a talking shop because there is no concrete agenda which was put in place before the summit, concrete agenda with the proper outcomes, expectations, and resolutions to be passed. In short, I believe it's going to pass like any other conferences which have been held in the past before.
I don't know, in the last 30 seconds, you can tell me, some people have said, why didn't AU strengthen its economic cooperation among the continent first and then move on to partner with other continental bodies? In 10 seconds, left.
Douglas, the continent is in dire stress. The continent has a serious deficit of leadership. We don't have a collective approach to the problems which are facing the continent. A lot of unemployment, a lot of poverty, but you don't see any program. Either the weakness within the AU itself, but even within the national states themselves. We have failed to consolidate the regional organization, which has made even the continental organization very weak. We don't have a program. Many of our leaders have overstayed in power. They are rusty. Mugabe is 90. So many others have been in power 30 years, 25 years. They are rusty, and they have not had any change on the continent. We don't expect anything new from them. Therefore, the status quo is going to continue. Europe is going to continue donating. We are there as beggars. We are only there to reaffirm our subservient status, our begging status. We are only going to open our hands so that they can continue to give us crumbs as they have. If we don't improve their interests, like those who have failed who have passed the homosexual legislation, they are going to cut the aid. If you don't pass the legislation, they will not cut the aid. If you are corrupt, if you mistreat politicians, but you have not passed the homosexual legislation, they will continue giving you the aid. So the agenda is there as it has always been.
Thank you, Suleiman. That was Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Our producer was Jackson Mvunganyi and our engineer was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can listen to the program by going to our main website and listen to the whole thing again. Once again, thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Mpuga, here in Washington, and hope to see you again next week. Have a good week.